You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Bill Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. We got the local, the state, the national, man, we cover down on all the stuff. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. We're going to take a pause from me opining for a moment and bring in a friend of mine, Jeff Poor. He's the executive editor of 1819 News. He's also the host of his own show, The Jeff Poor Show, on FM Talk 106.5 down in the coast. And he's been around politics for a long time. And I thought I'd just bring him in and get his opinions on where we're headed in terms of midterm momentum. Jeff Poor, how you doing, man?
Doing well, man. How are you?
I'm good. You know, the polls are saying that we're seeing record early voter turnout in the states that do that, not the least of which is Georgia right next door. What are your thoughts on the level of momentum we're seeing right now?
Yeah, and I think these polls are starting to do some corrections. I think the trend – I always tell guys this, don't read the bottom line number of the polls. Just look at the trend. I think these polls, since Obama's been president, have oversampled Democrats. Look, Barack Obama is a once-in-a-lifetime politician that could get Democrats out to vote, and he did that in 2008 and in 2012. You can't count on that every time, but these pollsters, these political scientists will not learn that. They do this every single time. But what's important here is that bottom line number is always kind of off, I think. We saw it in the 2020 cycle with Jamie Harrison was supposed to give Lindsey Graham a run for his money. It wasn't even close. Same with Susan Collins in Maine. But what I would just say, they're using the same methodology to get these numbers. But as a trend, more Republican, that's what you got to pay attention to. And that's why I think the wave is coming and these guys are just kind of pretending like, nah, there's nothing to see here. It's going to come back to haunt them. They're going to wake up on November 9th and it's going to be this. They do this every single time when Republicans have a big night. How did this happen? What do we learn from this?
Well, you know, it's funny you say that because I think the pollsters are definitely beginning to, you're seeing the trends, but then I think also you're starting to see the media finally begin to acknowledge this could happen. And I said earlier before you came on the show, there's a little bit of CYA in the media because they're trying to hedge their bets now 2 weeks in so they can at least be on the record as having acknowledged this thing could happen. I think it is going to be a wave. Let's break it down a minute. Senate's the closest one. I mean, even Tuberville said in a story that y'all did on 1819 News out today that it's a coin toss. I mean, you got the Arizona, the Georgia, the Pennsylvania, the Ohio races, even Wisconsin. What are your thoughts? You got any predictions on any of it yet?
Well, Wisconsin, I never thought was – Wisconsin, Ohio, I feel pretty solid Republican.
Yeah, okay, so Wisconsin, Ohio, there's those. Arizona, Georgia.
Georgia's a mystery. I don't know what to think of Georgia right now. One thing is about Stacey Abrams – she may not be able to get voters to come out for her, but she has changed the game in Georgia. But the enigma of Georgia is this: who are these people that are voting for Brian Kemp but not Herschel Walker? Why is that almost a 20-point swing, according to some polls? Like, why? Who is this individual that's like waking up on November 8th and like, I'm going to go cast a vote for Brian Kemp but not Herschel Walker, or vice versa? That they're like, well, I'm going, you know, I find that contradiction very strange. The Arizona, I don't know. We've been told Arizona's a purple state, but we've been fooled so many times. And look, the candidate there, Blake Masters, they finally allowed, they didn't just go with like a Martha McSally type establishment candidate. They got the conservative candidate, sort of the ideological candidate of that primary in there. So I'll be curious to see if that changes. Pennsylvania, guys, one day you feel like Oz has the momentum, and then Fetterman. The thing about Pennsylvania, whoever goes away the longest seems to do the best. And Fetterman finally getting that message and laying low. But we'll see.
He's laying low, but tomorrow night's the actual debate. They're actually going to have him on a stage, allegedly, he and Oz. I'm curious to see whether he can even maintain his, you know, decorum and speak in full sentences tomorrow night. That's going to be interesting to watch.
Well, we'll see if that sticks, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, Herschel Walker had to go out, and some say all he had to do was do no harm. He actually did no harm and did pretty well. And Blake Masters allegedly had a great night on the debate. So debates don't always make a difference, but every once in a while when it's super close, it gives you the sound bites you need for the ads and or the absence thereof. And so I'm curious to see how this is going to go down with Oz and Fetterman. That's going to be a unique evening, if you know what I mean.
I mean, neither are terribly impressive, but you got to give an edge to Oz. At least he's done some TV. He can kind of maybe he can lean on that a little bit, right?
Well, he can talk in full sentences too, which is kind of a big deal in that race right now. Well, okay, so let me ask you then about congressional, because right now, you know, Tuberville even opined, what if we could get to the point of a supermajority 290? I don't think we're going to see 290 in the House. But what are your thoughts on the level of majority that Republicans could expect coming out of this night?
I mean, they're talking like, it depends. You hear everything from just a slight 5 to 10 votes to 30, 40. This is a harder one to understand and know what the individual races are, where they're going to pick up. I mean, it's, you know, the map has changed since we've done reapportionment, right? So some of these seats have gone away, and some of these states have become more Democrat, some have become more Republican. But if it's just generic ballot and we're basing it on that, I mean, it's going to be a big night for Republicans, I think.
No, I think it is. I don't think we see supermajority, you know, filibuster proof.
No,
but I think it's going to be an amazing night. It's going to show a complete swing. Pelosi is out there on the Sunday morning talk show circuit, refusing to talk about the possibility of a change in her position, because surely we're going to win. We're going to win. And she's just, her hands are swinging everywhere.
She is lying to us. She knows she is lying to us. Why do we put up with somebody that lies to us like Nancy Pelosi? I don't get it. She knows it's over, and she does this. You know, no one's begging her to go on the Sunday shows. Maybe you're getting a request from whatever, CNN, but no one says, hey, Nancy, why don't you go on and overpromise and underdeliver on November the 8th?
Yeah, see how that pans out when they start replaying that for you later on. All right, so listen, brother, in the last few minutes we got here, let's talk about the issues for a minute, because, you know, the Democrats, what are they running on? And right now, some say they're running on abortion, but even that seems to be losing steam as an issue among their own base. And then you have Biden coming out and saying, send me a majority and I'll make sure we codify Roe v. Wade. Did it garner much attention? I don't know. And then he did his interview this morning, or yesterday, I guess it was, with a transgender guy, and talked about how we should not be allowed to have any laws that prohibit surgeries on children. And I'm just thinking, what are the issues that Democrats are running on right now? What are your thoughts?
I try to do this. I know, like, right-wing radio talk show guy or Breitbart boy or 1819 guy or whatever, I've been in my own bubble and in the echo chamber here. But if I'm a Democrat, what am I want my Democrats to win, and what do I run on? I don't think it's any of the above that they are doing, though. I don't think that is – you got to soften this wokeism, right? And they look like they are just wedded to this notion that they got to just double down on it. And I think this is going to be one of these conversations we're going to have on the day after the election. Like, well, what happened? Maybe we shouldn't have been so big on transgender bathrooms or whatever. But they say this, they say this every single time they lose an election. Like, what happened? Well, we should focus on the kitchen table issues. Well, obviously, the kitchen table issues are not a winner for them, because you look at the dire straits of the economy and what's going on. But they're just – I don't think what they are trying to do is running against Trump and trying to make it all about these very niche issues is going to do anything. It's going to be an abysmal failure.
I completely agree. I mean, I can't see any momentum in any of their issues. And like you said, I know that I live in an echo chamber. I know that I do the conservative talk show thing every day. And I know where I stand in terms of my own principles. But nonetheless, I don't think that that literally abortion and transgender surgeries for kids being mandatory, and I don't see it. And you certainly can't run on the budget because right now you're crushing the budget.
One thing I've you're seeing this pick up a little bit, Senator, real quick. They have gone back to the playbook of 2012 and are now saying that a Republican majority means they're going to take your contraception away. So I think they're trying to juice up the female vote. But it's like when they do all these remakes of these sitcoms or whatever, because the stuff they're peddling now is not that entertaining. So we'll just go back and remake Roseanne or whatever. And I feel like that's where Democrats are. Well, this stuff ain't working. Well, in 2012 we got that. We got them over good with that. Let's try that again. And that's seems to be where we're at right now.
So basically what they're saying is that Republicans are going to run a bill that says no more condom machines and truck stop bathrooms. I don't see it happening. I mean, I just...
they're going to take away your birth control pills or something. They do this every single time.
Oh, my gosh. Well, listen, man, last thing I got for you. I'm springing this one on you. Your prediction, is Trump going to declare for the presidency right after the midterms?
Yeah, but I don't know that he sticks with it. It's entirely possible that he does. He's got to keep his foot in the door. And then maybe he drops out or something. But I do think he will declare at some point.
All right. Jeff Poor, you know the stuff. 1819 News Executive Editor, FM Talk 106.5, Jeff Poor Show. Appreciate your time, bud.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Senator.
All right, thank you. All right, Boomer, take us to a break. We'll come back and wrap this sucker up here in just 1 minute. We're still in number one of the Triple Dipper, the midterm momentum. I'll wrap that up with some things that are coming out of the polls saying that, you know, what's driving people to go vote early? We'll talk about it. And then number two, China rising. We'll cover that too. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative, just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. Jumping over to the phone, is that Jeff? Jeff from Indiana, how are you, brother? Did you have a good vacation?
I had a good vacation, come back home sick over the weekend. I've had the dangest cold ever was.
Oh, man, you got to have a vacation from your vacation now.
I need one. Unfortunately, I'm in traffic in Nashville right now, so that's always
well,
fun.
It is the latter half of the day. That means you're on the go-home side of your trip. So,
yes, it is.
Well, what's on your mind, brother?
Joe Biden, you know, he's talking about Jim Crow laws, you know, but they should know about Jim Crow laws because the Democrats, that's what they enacted. It's the black people so that they wouldn't vote Republican.
That's exactly it. It was Democrats. You know, they forget that, don't they? It was the Republicans that literally abolished some of the things that they scream at Republicans about now.
Yeah. How do you get somebody, you know, a people that should be, you know, pro-Republican, be pro-slave master almost, basically, is what it amounts to. I don't understand that at all.
What are you hearing about midterms up there in Indiana, man?
I know everything in our Indiana's, you know, pretty much red. It's going to go our way there for sure. But the thing about it is, I worry about the Rhino factor. You know, Mitt Romney's still in a senator, as far as I can remember, and I wonder how many more John McCain's we got out there. I couldn't vote for John McCain when he ran for president just for that fact, because he just, you know, if I'm going to vote for a Democrat, I just will vote for a Democrat.
Yeah, and John McCain, you know, that's one thing I'm on Trump. I wish Trump had left off the attacks on John McCain and on his he didn't have to say a word about his military service or anything else. He could have said, I don't agree with the way that John McCain votes, and that would have been enough. Most folks would have got it.
Trump was just a, you know, thing about it is Trump has good policy. Trump don't know how to run his mouth. He don't know how to keep his mouth shut, basically.
Usually Trump's own worst enemy is Trump, but we'll see. Exactly. I think he's going to be probably telling us something very soon about what he's going to do. But in the meantime, brother, I got another phone call, so let me jump over and grab that, okay?
Have a good one.
All right, Jeff, we'll see you, man. Is that Brian online too? Brian from Huntsville, how you doing, buddy?
Doing well, and I'm glad you all are too. But
we
I
are.
I thought I'd ask a question.
Yeah.
I thought it said, or if turned the Congress over during midterms, would it not make more sense for Trump to wait until after the new Congress is seated, where the dead duck Congress doesn't start throwing everything they can at him and at everybody associated with him?
You know, I see what you're saying. So basically wait until the lame duck session is over and then announce.
Right, yeah.
And I don't know. I think what he's going to try, you know, I don't know. I think the Trump's going to try and suck the wind out of the lame duck session by saying, these are all the things that I will help you oppose. Let's get it done. So I'm going to bet that any announcement he's going to make is going to be sometime in early December is what I'm thinking. We'll see.
All right. Well, y'all have a blessed day.
All right, brother. We'll see you. All right. Listen, and what's driving people to the polls right now? I started to touch on this NBC News article dated, what is this yesterday? NBC News, recent polling done by NBC says 80% of Democrats and Republicans believe that the opposing party, each other, poses a threat that if not stopped will destroy America as we know it. But yet it also has Biden's approval rating being so low, and yet with independent voters especially low, which means the momentum appears to be in favor of Republicans, according to NBC's own poll. Now, when you look at that, too, you look at things like, okay, how are we seeing the indicators? Well, what are things that are considered to be an eye-popper, if you will? What kind of things grab the pollsters' attentions? You know, just a while ago when Jeff Poor was on, he mentioned, he said, just get away from the actual questions. Look at the trends. Where does this poll compare to, like, the general ballot kind of trend? What are you seeing? How was this kind of a poll done in 2018? How was this kind of a poll done for the Obama era in 2012? Well, right now, this particular poll says the poll found that 70% of all registered voters expressed high interest in the election, like a 9 or a 10 on a 10-point scale. That's the highest percentage ever in the survey for a midterm election at this point. That has caught a lot of attention. That indicates that there is serious, what they would call the enthusiasm spread. And the enthusiasm, here we go. By party, Republicans have a higher interest in the midterms compared with 69% of Democrats. All right, 78 to 69. We call that the enthusiasm gap. So the enthusiasm gap right now, even though you're seeing early voting going in favor of Democrats, that's not to be unexpected. The enthusiasm gap is literally 9 points in favor of GOP. And what that tends to indicate is that we have the more motivated voters. It's going to be interesting, folks. A lot of stuff happening. We'll see how it lays out. But I'm just telling you, you got to go vote. You can't take it for – even living in a state like Alabama, you cannot take it. If you're living in our neighboring states, too, I know some of y'all can hear me in Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi. You got relatives in other states. Go vote. Do not let this one get by you. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. More to come. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.